Welcome everyone. Today we'll take the journey of how AI applications are working in the e-commerce space. Now you would ask, why are we so interested in it, or what can AI do? So that is precisely the point that we're going to cover today in this session. So let us start by getting introduced to AI and e-commerce. All of us are aware of it, artificial intelligence and e-commerce. We are using it every day. It's part of our daily life. But try to understand why, what is the interest of AI in e-commerce, and what would be the benefits, the shortcomings, the things to be wary of by using AI in e-commerce, which is what we'll try to cover in this session. So the agenda, as I said, we'll get introduced to e-commerce and the current trends. What is the key artificial intelligence concepts and techniques? Obviously, since we want to understand how it is getting used, we need to know its concepts and the techniques. How there is a convergence of AI into e-commerce. We'll try to take some examples of how companies are leveraging AI in e-commerce and what are the benefits that they're getting out of it. And in different e-commerce business model, how AI is playing a part and giving benefit, and what are the AI applications for e-commerce business. So let's get introduced to the e-commerce and the current trends. So the global e-commerce market is valued at close to $26 trillion in 2023. And of course, it's growing at 18 to 20% CAGR. Which means that it should reach approximately $105 trillion by 2030, which is just 5 years away. And this rapid expansion is obviously because of shift in consumer purchasing behavior. No longer we want to go out and buy something when it is easily available on our mobile phone, on our laptop, or any digital device. So the convenience that we get with online shopping, and we think that is saving our time, it is more efficient, has made the digital marketplace more appealing to consumers. And then of course, this is not an isolation. What has also helped in the growth of e-commerce is that mobile phones became cheaper, became smarter. You had different form factors like tablets, small mobile phone, large mobile phone, having a lot of compute power, having a lot of storage and a lot of things around it. And therefore, the shopping experience has increased. No longer you would have to depend on your desktop and laptop to do any shopping. You could as well open your mobile phone and do the shopping. And more importantly, the companies have understood how mobile phone, which is available with you 24/7 in one way, is now become a part of your persona, and they have built apps around it. So by just clicking on those apps, they're able to move you through a lot of offerings they have and make your experience much better, and therefore you are more inclined to purchase through e-com. So this is a graphical representation of how the total e-commerce revenue has grown over a period of time. These are in US dollars. And you can see Africa, where telephony itself is coming up, is the lowest. Asia, because of pure population jump, it's the highest. And then America and Europe are part of it. It is said that close to 2.71 billion people will shop online. And this in the current year will increase up to 2.77 billion, which is a huge, huge number by all stretch of imagination. Now, what was the potential drivers of e-commerce? We have already touched some part of it, but just to get it organized, our thoughts. One is, of course, the increased internet penetration in the markets, the convenience and the accessibility, the mobile commerce. You're expanding product offerings over mobile, and a hidden hero, which we kind of miss overall, is improved logistics and delivery. You have organizations which are able to deliver to you in 10 minutes or 15 minutes flat. that has made a huge difference in the growth of e-commerce market. Now, like anything else, the e-com is also broken into two parts. One is business to business, and where both the sides, the purchaser and the seller, are companies or organization. And the second, obviously, is business to consumers, where we primarily see e-com much more. But business to business, e-com has also increased. And in value terms, actually, B2B comprises more than 70% of the e-com market. And this is because people have started using tools like ERP, which is enterprise resource planning, and CRM, which is customer relationship management systems. It's also fueled by digitization of supply chains. So you are able to track where the materials are, who's doing what, expansion of online marketplaces. The integration has become easier. So integrating with other tools, which has improved the transaction efficiency and has streamlined the operations. B2B e-com also plays a vital role in cross-border trade by enabling business to source products and services internationally, subject to import-export rules in that particular country. The B2C e-commerce, on the other hand, is picking up pace and is expected to grow the fastest in coming years. Now, what is really driving it is a social media platform. So in social media, it is encouraging you, warning you, taking you to buy now decisions, and transforming itself into a dynamic marketplace. And then you have a whole new of tech savvy customers who are called the digital natives. That means they have been born with digital first, and they by default are using digital to do their work, whether it is to buy, find out information, or any such thing. And obviously the backbone remains the same. You have increased internet penetration. The mobile commerce has advanced, so you could buy now, pay immediately. And the offerings, product offerings has increased and expanded. And therefore, you can do a lot more on the mobile than you could have done maybe 5 years before. Now, if you look at region-wise, so let's look at Asia-Pacific region. Asia-Pacific region is the largest e-com market globally, and contributes roughly 60% of the market share. So the key countries which are driving this dominance are China, Japan, India, South Korea, and Australia. And again, the strong growth is as a result of expanding internet access, disposable income rising, and significant population of young tech-savvy consumers increasing in the coming into the working force as we speak. The second region, as we have seen even in the graph, is the North America region. It represents close to 25% of the market share. And obviously, the key countries which are driving this is United States and Canada. It is doing a steady growth because mobile commerce has increased, omni-channel retailing is there, and more integration is taking place there. The third region is Europe, which is the third region, and it comprises 10% of the market share. And the key countries which are leading this is Germany, United Kingdom, France, and Italy. And so growth rate across Europe are varying from country to country. Some countries have adopted it very fast and they are using it more and more, while some countries are yet to pick up. And this has all come down to the digital infrastructure that has built, the investment required, consumer behavior, and sometimes even the local conditions. Now coming to India as part of Asia Pac. Now India's e-commerce sector is projected to reach 4,500 odd billion rupees by 24, which has passed, and close to 7,600 billion rupees by 2029. And one of the reason in India why e-com has really taken off and is now getting used more and more is that our adoption and introduction of a UPI, which is Unified Payments Interface, and that has helped the transaction growth because payments have been made easy. and more than 800 million users or 80 crore people are using it. So the UPI transaction, since UPI is now the backbone of the e-com in India, and UPI transactions have seen a tenfold increase over 4 years from 12.5 billion transactions in 1920 to 131 billion by 2023-24. So that UPI accounts for 80% of India's total digital payment volumes. And by 2029, it is expected that India's e-commerce user base will grow up to 50 crores, with user penetration increasing from 22% to 34% by 2029. Most important, when you say that digital transaction has increased, is what is the average revenue per user that you can look in digital transaction? And roughly, the average revenue per user in India is expected to reach by 15,000 rupees per user. So this reflects the growing purchasing power of Indian online consumer. Now, which are the leading e-commerce companies in India? No surprises, and this is divided as per or shown as per the site visits. So you have Amazon, which has the maximum site visit, followed by Flipkart, Nykaa, IndiaMart, Meesho, Book My Show, OLX, Make My Trip, Ajio, and Tata Click. In terms of market share and the growth, as per July 24 data, you had Flipkart, which had 32% market share, and the growth rate was 15%, followed very closely by Amazon India, which had 28% market share, and they're growing faster at 18%. Meesho is the silent growth, where the market share, although low right now, 10%, but it's growing at 30% rate. Myntra, market share 8%, growing at 12%. And Tata Click, 6% market share and growing at 10%. So there's going to be a tough time and a tough fall in the market share and growth as per the Indian e-commerce. So Indian e-commerce is set for a fantastic time ahead. Now, having understood the e-com business, where we have tried to understand our definition of e-com that we look at, what is the market share, what kind of volumes are there, why is it important to look into it? I think we will pivot from here into understanding what are the key AI concepts, artificial intelligence concepts and techniques, so that one has a clear picture of what is AI and how the AI is going to get used in the e-com side. So let's start first by the definition. As given, so AI involves creating intelligent agents capable of reasoning, learning, and acting autonomously, simulating human cognitive functions in machines. So it means you have a machine which acts like a human in terms of reasoning, learning from mistakes or from success, and acting autonomously by itself within the given framework. And what are the core cognitive functions? So the core cognitive functions are learning, problem solving, reasoning, understanding natural language, and having a visual perception. That means understanding what it's able to see through cameras. What is data analysis and pattern recognition? So what AI does is it is able to understand large data and try to understand patterns and use that patterns to make decisions and over a period of time improve the experience and the decisions that they make. The foundational techniques of doing all such things include machine learning, natural language processing, computer vision, robotics, and therefore they are also known as the building blocks of AI development. Now let's move to machine learning. Now, what is a machine learning? So machine learning obviously is a subset of AI where machines learn from the data and improve their performance without being explicitly programmed. So they go through the same data set again and again and keep improving their outcome of what is expected from them. The main types of machine learning are supervised, where the model is trained on labeled data. You know what it is. input and output relationships are known, and the machine learning gets trained there. Unsupervised learning, where the model works on unlabeled data to find patterns or relationship. That means it doesn't know what is this data, what does it mean. So you could give the blood sample report of 100 people. Now it doesn't know its blood sample report. All it knows is 100 people, and there are some 50 parameters for each individual: red hemoglobin, white blood cells, and so on and so forth. And from that, it's able to try to find a pattern and a relationship, saying if you were, let's say, between the age bracket of 50 to 60, then there are 30% people who suffer from inflammation, as an example, and so on and so forth. So it creates its own outcome, whether it is right or wrong. It doesn't understand that. And then what is reinforcement learning? So the agent learns by interacting with the environment, receiving rewards or penalties for actions. So someone tells it, this is wrong, this is right, you should look at this way. So then it learns from its mistakes, as one says, and reinforces itself. Another concept that you have to keep in mind in the AI world is neural networks and deep learning. So what is neural networks? So neural networks is named after human brains. So you have network consisting of layers of interconnecting nodes or neurons, as it is there in the brain, that process and transmit information. So they are very useful for pattern recognition and classification tasks. In human brain, we call this process as synapses. Otherwise, in this, it is more about pattern recognition and classification techniques. Deep learning is another subset of machine learning. So you have AI, machine learning, and deep learning in terms of hierarchy. It is highly effective for tasks like image recognition, natural language processing, and speech recognition. So now let's look at what is natural language processing, or NLP as it is called. So NLP is a language that focuses on interaction between computers and humans using natural language, as I'm speaking in English, or if I speak in Hindi or some other language, the computer understands it. So it helps the machines to understand, interpret, and respond to human language. And how is it doing it today? It includes text and speech recognition, for example, chatbots, virtual assistant like Siri or Alexa, language translation like a Google Translate does after listening to some request in English, and then if you say translate it into French, it is able to translate. Or try to do sentiment analysis, which is understanding the emotions in text. Another important segment in AI concept is the computer vision. So what is computer vision? Computer vision is something that enables machine to interpret and process visual information from the world, such as images or video. So when the language or the machine learning goes through a video or images, it is able to understand what does this information mean. So what is the key techniques around it? So it obviously first is to detect the objects in the video or the images, then do segmentation, if possible, compare it with your base to do facial recognition, or do a pose estimation that what is ready to do. And what are the applications that include this video computer vision? It's image and object recognition, like facial recognition, or another good example of autonomous vehicles, that is self-driving cars, which has cameras all over the place, and they use their computer vision to see the road. So with all this, you also come to one more area, which is robotics. So what does robotics have to do with AI? So what robotics does is integrates AI to create an autonomous or semi-autonomous robots capable of performing tasks such as industrial automation, that is in assembly lines, or service robots like healthcare robots that assist patients. Autonomous drones and vehicles are part of robotics. And then you have expert systems. So what are expert systems? Expert systems are AI programs that mimic the decision making of the human expert. They rely on the knowledge database that they have and the inference engine. So inference engine tries to understand the knowledge, the task at hand, and tries to derive conclusion from the knowledge database. It again, you have a reinforcement learning, so there you encourage the agent with positive and negative feedback to improve as it goes along. Thereby, once that learning is incorporated in the agent, it becomes far superior. Cognitive computing, so it tries to mimic human thought process by trying to think like human, understand like human, and solve the problem like a human. Fuzzy logic. Now, fuzzy logic is a term that used to extend the traditional Boolean logic to handle partial truth values between completely true and completely false. So, if it is completely true, you have one definitive answer. If it is completely false, you have another definitive answer. But what happens to data where you are not sure of either one? In that situation, you get fuzzy logic, which tries to estimate where it is closer, either to completely true or completely false. And therefore, it's useful in AI systems and which deals with uncertain or imprecise information. So control systems in appliances are built on fuzzy logic. So where does this converge? The AI and the e-com. So artificial intelligence in e-com represents a major shift in online retail operations, and it's no longer just a passing trend. Initially, it was thought like a passing trend, but it is no longer like that because AI can process vast amount of data in real time, thereby trying to enable accurate prediction of customer behavior. And most importantly, for e-com business owners to be in the business, it is now becoming an essential tool to stay competitive in the rapidly evolving digital marketplace. So, what is the history of AI and how did it move? So, you had a very early AI integration by 2000 and 2010, where there was an advancement in machine learning, NLP enabling chatbots and virtual assistant came. And from 2020 onwards, you had advances in deep learning that enabled AI to perform more complex tasks effectively. There's a broad adoption of AI to optimize operation, enhance customer experience, and drive business growth. So now let's move towards having a basis now covered and understood the basics. Let's look at some specific examples of companies which are leveraging AI and e-commerce today. So let's look at Amazon. As you say, in India, Amazon is number two and growing faster than Flipkart, maybe overtaken sometime. So what AI product powered product recommendation is what Amazon is using AI for. So what does it do? It uses the AI algorithm and provide you a personalized product suggestions based on your behavior, your browsing history, and past purchases. So using these three parameters and many other small parameters, I'm sure, it is able to come up with a personalized product suggestions and thereby making you remember if you have forgotten something or making a more inclination likely to buy more and thereby increasing its business. So no wonder it is growing very fast. What it has also done is it employs a collaborative filtering, predictive analytics, and machine learning to analyze millions of customer data points. And then the recommendation engine increases the customer engagement and contributes to a large portion of Amazon sales. Now, what Flipkart is doing of how it is using AI and in e-commerce, it is using more in terms of smart logistics and inventory management. So Flipkart has employed an AI agent. When it is getting delivered the materials, it is able to give you a route optimization. It's able to estimate the demand in that route and in the warehouse how things have to be stored and taken out. It is also using automated guided vehicles and robotic system to enhance the warehouse efficiency and accuracy, thereby reducing the cost there. And because it is doing there, and it has the real-time data of over 100 logistic partner, it is able to reduce delivery time. And not only that, it tries to optimize inventory levels, both leading to better customer experience because you get things before time or on time as promised, and your inventory level is in control, therefore you save money and your cost comes down. So what has everyone done? So everyone is now committed to technological integrations. So it combines AI with IoT and 5G to streamline operations and create some safer and more efficient working environment. And this automation has freed up employees for more meaningful tasks, thereby improving job satisfaction and customer service quality. So what are the benefits of AI in e-commerce? One, it has enhanced customer experience. So you've got an improved search functionality, which gives you more relevant result depending on the AI's understanding of you as a customer. It has improved the customer service because the chatbots and virtual assistant offer 24 by 7 support. They resolve issues if they can and thereby improve your satisfaction. You get recommendation which is very personalized to you, and therefore you feel very happy about it and more inclined to buy more. It has led to optimization of operations. So your inventory management is controlled. It is able to predict what kind of demand you will happen depending on the day, time, week, environment, and much more. It tells you what is your stock level and what to order or not to order, and therefore save cost. It also improves the supply chain optimization, which helps in logistics by predicting demand and thereby reducing operational cost. More importantly, in e-com, because it is not physical, not face to face, there could be fraudulent transactions, but AI algorithms are able to detect such fraudulent transactions and therefore safeguard both the business and the customers from it. The AI also increases efficiency and productivity because it automates. So repetitive tasks are automated and therefore staff can focus on strategic activities. It does data analysis because it is able to analyze large data sets and helps to identify pattern, trends, and actionable insight. It is able to do something what is known as predictive analytics, as it is able to basis the data it has, it is able to predict future trends and thereby give a great insight to the product managers and to people involved in e-com business on what will happen next and what they have to look out for. Now, if you are ahead in the game of implementing AI in e-com business, you get competitive advantages as you are able to do a personalized marketing. You implement something known as voice commerce, that is shopping via voice commands. You can add AR and virtual reality, which is able to get more better details about the product to the customer immediately. You can do a lot of product innovation because it identifies new opportunity depending on the feedback and market trends. And because you have improved your efficiency and reduced the operational cost, the overall cost reduction takes place. Another benefit of AI in e-commerce is that it leads to better decision making because it is able to leverage the data that you already have. It is able to predict using predictive analytics for trend forecasting. It is able to give you a real-time market analysis to adapt to changes quickly. More importantly, because of the supply and demand tracking of it, it is able to give you dynamic pricing based on the demand, the competition, and other factors that are there. And as it has become more personalized, delivers better, reduces cost, it is also using the predictive models to prevent the customer churn, resulting in improved customer retention. And overall, it enhances the mobile shopping experiences. Now, this is as far as B2C is concerned. What does it do for B2B? So B2B e-commerce involves transactions between business, and they are often characterized by large order volumes, complex pricing structure, and long-term relationships. So AI integrated potentials are complex operation, large data volume, it is able to handle better, and thereby you can focus on efficiency, cost reduction, and relationship management. The key applications that you can use in B2B e-commerce business is predictive analytics, thereby forecasting demand and optimizing inventory, predicting your customer churn and lifetime value of the customer, personalized pricing or dynamic pricing, you can work on that, and you can automate your contract negotiation and quotes. What you can also do is optimize your supply chain management by doing AI-powered logistic planning and route optimization, and also do predictive maintenance for equipments. You could also do account-based marketing with personalized content and recommendations. You can do lead scoring and qualifications. You can also do is automate the order processing and fulfillment. And if there is any anomaly, you can detect it in the order payments. And in B2C, it is involves direct sales from business to individual consumers, thereby focusing on user experience and customer engagement. So what is the potential of it? Very high AI integration potential, because you have a large customer base, and with more emphasis on personalization, AI plays a big part. You focus on enhancing customer experience and thereby increasing the conversion rate. Your key AI application in B2C is personalization. So personalization of product recommendations, search results, category pages. And after you have selected and bought and you have need of customer service, you have AI chatbots for 24/7 support. And you can do a sentiment analysis of customer feedback to understand whether customer was happy with your support or not happy or against, or what kind of sentiments were there, and take appropriate actions. You can also do visual and voice search. So image recognition for visual product search and voice activated shopping assistance can be used in B2C e-commerce. The key AI application, of course, like B2B, you also have dynamic pricing you can do, because you can make the adjustment depending on demand, competition and customer behavior. And as we discussed before, suspicious transaction or fraud detection is able to do much easier with AI, because you have behavioral analysis for account security. Consumer to consumer e-commerce is a new area which has come up. So they bypass the platforms and directly deal with it. So here the AI integration potential is moderate to high, because the focus has to be on trust building and transaction facilitation, and emphasis on user generated content analysis and community engagement. The key AI applications would be trust and safety. So AI-powered verification of user identity, automated detection of fraudulent listing or scams, smart matchmaking. So AI algorithms to match buyers with relevant sellers, recommendation system for related items, pricing assistance, AI tools to suggest optimal pricing for sellers, and price trend analysis for buyers. You can do content moderation, so automated review of listing and user generated content, sentiment analysis of user reviews and contents. What you can also do is a natural language processing, because that improves search functionalities, and you can do automated translation for international platforms. So to conclude what we have discussed, you have customer understanding and acquisition. You can leverage AI to attract and engage customers. You can use AI in e-com business for customer services by enhancing user interactions through chatbots and virtual assistant. You can improve your product management and pricing, because you can use AI for product recommendation and dynamic pricing. You can improve your marketing and sales, because you can have different strategies with AI-driven personalization and targeting. Improve your supply chain and logistics with the help of AI, because AI then forecasts and does the automation. You can safeguard transactions through advanced AI solutions for payments and thereby avoid frauds. And you can address the complexities and ethical implications of AI adoption is the challenge. that you need to consider. So to summarize, AI is transforming e-commerce with examples we have said, and we are using advanced technologies like machine learning, deep learning, natural language processing, and computer vision. And these innovations are enhancing customer experience with personalized recommendations, dynamic pricing, visual and voice search, virtual try-ons, and 24/7 chatbot support. It is also optimizing the backend operations, including inventory management, demand forecasting, fraud detection, and supply chain efficiency. And we are using AI to increase sales, at the same time reduce cost, and also to improve decision making. So this benefit is across all segments, B2B, B2C, and C2C models. And there are challenges which are getting faced, like data privacy and integration complexity. It still boosts customer satisfaction, conversion rates, and operational efficiency. So with that, we come to the end of chapter one. Thank you for your patience listening.